Hey, it's Folk Low Radio, Chicago's only urban alternative, 91.1 FM. We are looking forward to the Grammys. They're going to be this Sunday, February 2nd, 2025. I know we are anxiously anticipating to see who's going to win some of the big awards this year. But we have a special guest right now in the studio, two-time Grammy Award-winning musician, producer, songwriter. He's worked with Beyonce, Leon Bridges, Maggie Rogers, Kacey Musgraves, Pink. I mean, I don't have all day to sit here and name off everyone he's worked with, but born and from Chicago, we got Ian Fitchuk in the studio with us on the line. Hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
So happy you could talk to us before. I mean, Grammy week, it's a big week for you, right?
It is. Yeah. I'm in the studio right now just working as I typically do. And, you know, I've got a bunch of work to do between now and this weekend. So, yeah, it's just kind of another day over here, but I'm looking forward to this weekend. And it's cool to be talking to you. I grew up in Western Springs, LaGrange area, and then moved out to Wheaton. So WBEZ has been on my radar as long as I can remember.
I was surprised to see you still working this week. I was like, you don't have tux fittings, hair appointments.
I went pretty hard the first time around about 5 or 6 years ago. And this year I'll try to look presentable, but I'm maybe dialing it back just a notch, and I'm just kind of simplifying things in general these days. I have a nice jacket and a nice shirt, and hopefully I'll look all right.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask, you've won 2 Grammys already. Does it lessen the more you get nominated, or every time is it still like, oh my gosh? Does it feel...
Well, I don't know if it'll ever be like the first time, and because that was just such a crazy year in general, and I had been working for a long time before that happened and was really proud of the work that I'd done, the career that I'd found myself in. And for that to happen with Golden Hour in 2019, it was like it happened with a project that I had felt kind of more, I don't know, I feel close to everything I work on, and I try to be proud of everything that I put effort into, but that was a really special project. And for that to be broadcast out into the world like that and honored on that level, I guess what I'm saying is that that was a special moment. You know, there's been some nominations since then. And then this year, you know, to be nominated again, it's always an honor. It's always special. This year, I didn't necessarily expect in any way a Producer of the Year nomination. And that was a really amazing surprise. You know, I lost my dad a little over a year ago, who was an orchestra conductor in the public school system in Chicago for like 35 years. Just an amazing musician, an amazing guy. And he got to witness a lot of amazing things in my life, like having kids and making music and winning awards. But I don't know, there's something, I guess, about this particular nomination that I feel like is, I don't know, it feels like it's connected to him in some way, and of course wish that he could be here for that. But yeah, I feel really fortunate and really lucky.
It's so funny. I feel like we're simpatico right now, like we're on the same connection or something. Because I was going to say, you being nominated this year at the Grammys for yourself, you know, it literally says himself, like, as Producer of the Year. I was going to ask you if that makes a difference. And you've already answered it does, because so many times producers don't get as much recognition as if they were to become artists, you know, kind of same thing with songwriters, right? The artist kind of gets most of the recognition, but for you to be recognized as yourself for Producer of the Year, that has to be a huge honor.
It really is. But with that being said, the reason that I'm nominated is obviously not just because of what I have been doing. It's the fact that I've been living in Nashville for 25 years and working with numerous amounts of amazing songwriters, engineers, producers, artists. And it's taken so many people along the way to get to this point. And I know it can be kind of a cliche, I guess, but like I feel like I share that nomination not only with all of the artists and people that have kind of been around and been encouraging and supportive and believed in me, but especially my friend Daniel Tashin, who we've done a lot of producing and songwriting together. He's one of my best friends. And I just feel like me being nominated is, it's like my name, but there's so many people that I feel are attached to me in that honor. And that's really cool.
Being in Nashville and looking at your most recent award nominations. It seems like you've had a lot of success in the country field. Did you grow up listening to country music?
Not at all, actually. Both my parents were classical musicians and teachers. My mom also taught in the Chicago public school system as a music teacher and also plays flute, and grew up, you know, in church with them and in high school bands and stuff like that. But around the house, like, mostly they had, you know, NPR on a lot of the time. That's not to say that they didn't listen to other kinds of music. But yeah, I grew up in, you know, in the 90s, like the late 80s, early 90s. I was into a lot of different kinds of music, always have been. But country, in high school, I remember like the Dixie Chicks and Shania Twain were kind of the mainstream. They were like kind of poking through. And I remember hearing some of that stuff in high school. But like, I moved to Nashville mostly because I found a piano teacher that I was going to study with at Belmont University. I had a friend that I'd gone to high school with that went to Belmont and was a year ahead of me. And just, her name's Melissa Betts, and she had recommended I check out Belmont. And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. The commercial music program there seemed to me to be like an interesting hybrid between like a jazz program and classical. Like, it was kind of in the in between. And I guess Berkeley had a program like that at the time, but I never ended up visiting Berkeley because I came down to Nashville and just, I don't know, resonated with it, even though I didn't have a working knowledge of the history of country music. And it's something that over time I've developed a really deep appreciation for and a love for. But I still now wouldn't say that I know a lot of people that are way deeper on country music than I am. It's just something that I've, by proximity, have found myself in the middle of from time to time. But, you know, there were a lot of years from 2000 until 2013 or so where I was living in Nashville, but I was making more kind of alternative music, singer-songwriter music, pop, you know, a lot of different genres. I really still to this day, I would say I have like kind of one foot in and one foot out.
Speaking of mingling, I mean, I have to ask, some of your credits are on Beyonce's Cowboy Carter, which was like one of the biggest albums of last year. What was it like to get a call like that? I mean, did you ever think you would work on something like a Beyonce country album?
I don't think I could have predicted that it was a Beyonce country album, but she was definitely somebody that I remember years ago thinking, wow, it'd be cool to work with her one day. And I think she's definitely somebody I would have put on a list, you know, to my publisher and to my manager several years ago as somebody, well, wouldn't that be cool? But the fact that it actually ended up happening in the way that it did, I could have never foreseen. And honestly, even, you know, when I had the opportunity to work on some of that, I didn't have a lot of information, then I didn't hear anything for a really long time. So it was never, even after I knew that she was making some of that music, I really didn't know anything until like the day or two before it came out. And so that was another wild surprise. And, you know, I'm just like one very, very, very small part of a massive project. I mean, that was like years in the making and had so many incredible people working on it that I'm just happy to be included.
I wanted to put these next pair of questions out to maybe some upcoming producers and maybe some tips for them. You play so many instruments. How many do you play? Like 27? I feel like you know how to play so many instruments. Do you think that is a vital part of producing?
I mean, it's important to me, but that's because I love playing instruments. And it's how I found myself to be useful for a long time before I really knew much about producing. Is like, I wanted to make recordings and, you know, was working with very little resources for a long time. And so the fact that I'd grown up playing instruments, you know, I moved to Nashville kind of with like some ability on piano and drums and guitar and bass. And those are really all I play, the kind of like rhythm instruments. I don't play any woodwinds or strings or anything like that. I can't say enough about learning an instrument or multiple instruments and learning to play and express and connect with other people on those. I mean, I know a lot of amazing producers who have never picked up an instrument that, you know, have made the computer their instrument. And I have a lot of respect for people that do it that way. But I guess I'm kind of like old school in that way, that a big part of my production, I guess, is how I connect with the song and the material from a playing perspective. And I guess people have said at times, you know, that there's like, I don't know, maybe a organic or like timeless kind of quality to some of the things that I've been a part of. And I don't know if it's really that or if it's just that I'm still using like real instruments and that's not as common these days. So much of the music that I've listened to and grown up with involves a lot of great musicianship and playing. I feel pretty confident on some of those instruments, but I, again, like living in Nashville for so long, I could name dozens of just incredible musicians that I've been able to be around and absorb and that I still like call on and rely on to come and play too. Like it's never for me been like, how can I do this all by myself? Like I like making music with other people. I like getting other people's input and hearing music through other people's ears. So I just feel really lucky and grateful that I've had the experience in music that I've had so far.
Yeah, looking at, you know, some videos of you talking about making some of these Kacey Musgraves songs and seeing you like actually play the drums with the headphones on, it is kind of cool to see a producer like do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day, I guess like 50s, 60s and 70s, there were producers that didn't play instruments on records. And there's a wide array of different ways that producers make music. And I suppose just because it's just the way that I've always done it, it doesn't seem that unique or special. But thank you for saying so.
No, it was pretty cool. You look like a rock star, honestly. This next question, I mean, on your Wikipedia page, it says that for 2 years from 2023 to 2024, you've cut more than 70 tracks. That's, I'm not sure if that sounds about right. That's what your Wikipedia says. That is a lot.
It's probably more than that, I would imagine, but maybe not. I don't know.
Or maybe these are just published, because I'm sure you work on a lot of stuff that, you know, maybe never gets out to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of work. What is the magic to keep going and maybe not get like artist fatigue?
I mean, I think it's like trying different things, working on music that I don't necessarily seem qualified for. It means taking a lot of time. Sometimes like I'll get together with an artist and we'll have 2 or 3 days, and the first day we don't accomplish anything. Sometimes it takes a little while to explore and to find a rhythm and to find a through line into like the creative process. If what you're asking is like how to not burn out or how to stay inspired, it's like, yeah, trying new things, like working with new people, working with people who are younger than me, working with people that are older than me. And I'm always listening to music. I have an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old who turned me on to different kinds of music. I'm always trying to learn and trying to put myself in situations where there's an opportunity to grow. And that seems to keep it interesting.
You were talking about your children. Are you cool to your kids?
Like, I'm probably the wrong person to ask that, but
like, do they think you're cool?
Yeah, I think it depends on the day. You know, sometimes sometimes I think maybe they think I'm cool, and definitely other times they think I'm not. So, and that's okay. I don't think I'm cool all the time.
Is there like an artist? They're like, oh my gosh, you got to work with that person. Like, Dad, you're the coolest.
I mean, yeah, I guess like the Beyonce thing was pretty cool to them. But, you know, I've never met Beyonce. I may never will. So there's that. But no, they're proud of all the work that I've done. And even if it's music that they doesn't align with their tastes, they know when something is really good. Actually, they both really loved Leon Bridges' record. They were really encouraging and supportive of that project. They really like that.
I love it. And if you're just tuning in, Ian Fitchuk nominated for 2 Grammys, right? This Sunday at the Grammy Awards. If you win, because you've already won 2 Grammys in the past, if you win another one, do you like take yourself out to dinner, open a bottle of champagne? Do you have like a routine?
Obviously this year it's a little, I think just the tone of everything is going to be a little different just with everything that's been going on out in the Los Angeles area. I think, I mean, we're there to like honor great music and to support each other. But I think hopefully there's a lot of attention and care given to just like everything that that everybody's been experiencing out there, and the music community coming together to try to be a helping hand and try to be encouraging. So I don't really get like that this year is like the party year. I think it's more of just like get together, be encouraged, enjoy the time. And I go to bed really early these days. So honestly, it's going to most likely be up a little bit past my bedtime. And maybe it could involve like a chocolate milkshake and then getting into bed. But yeah, my rock and roll days are kind of behind me. So I'm happy to read my history books and go to sleep.
You know what? A chocolate milkshake, that's good. That's good. That's good enough for a lot of
Always.
people. So nominated for Producer of the Year and then Best Country Album, right? Is also nominated.
That's right.
Good luck. I mean, we'll be watching. It'll feel like a win for us if you win at this
Oh,
point.
yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm excited, and I have so many friends who are nominated as well, people that have just done incredible work this year. So regardless of what happens, I'm glad to celebrate everybody that's involved.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much. Great talking.
This segment was hosted and produced by Nudia Hernandez. It was edited by Morgan Sioka. Keep up with Vocalo on Instagram, X, and Facebook at Vocalo, and on TikTok at vocalo.radio.
From the bottomless pit, but my head.